The upcoming presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
What's up, guys? It's the phenomenal AJ Styles. You're listening to the two-man power trip.
Hey, Johnny. Cool, man. What's going on? We ready to go or what?
Welcome to the two-man power trip. I am JP John Paz, and with me today is a very special guest. He's a former WWF, WWE, WCW, ECW, TNA superstar, of course, a former two-time ECW World Tag Team Champion, a multiple time WWF Hardcore Champion, Dancing Stevie, Dr. Stevie, the King of Swing, Stevie Richards. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm a little nervous. I see the title here. It says John Paz versus Stevie Richards. I saw the past episodes. I don't know what to expect. That's why I'm all buttoned up with the hoodie on.
Oh, yeah.
Protected. I want to have the armor on.
It's just a funny thing. I don't know if you know Michael Schiavello. He was the voice. He does MMA. He does a lot of Muay Thai. He's just a great announcer, bald guy. I don't know if you're too familiar with the MMA
heard
world.
Before, yeah. Probably heard the voice for sure.
So he always had this great show. It was on Access TV for a while called The Voice Versus. And it was just a corny name for him interviewing people. So he'd interview Steve Austin. It was The Voice Versus Steve Austin. He'd interview Mark Cuban. It's The Voice Versus Mark Cuban. He had Hogan on. So it's just a clever little catchy name that I stole from Michael Schiavello, who's a great announcer.
Okay, I feel better now.
All right, yeah. No fighting, yes. Yeah, because I had on Russo. People were like, "Oh, you must have been arguing with Russo."
If that versus in the same name as that, oh my god, yeah, that's the most clickbaity title right there.
Yeah, they're like, "Oh my god, you must have been talking to him about how he was the filter for Vince McMahon for all those years." I did bring that up, but that wasn't a point of contention at all. I don't know if you agree with that.
We all know the answer now in 2021.
I think
that's pretty much figured itself out.
It's funny, though. People don't realize it. It's like, how come they haven't been good in 20 years? And it's like, well, it can't be Vince McMahon's fault. Well, I think it could be. You can't give him success and not give him the failures.
Mm-hmm.
So what about you? What have you been up to?
Well, I don't have a filter. Well, my wife is my filter. So I guess most of my successes rather than failures are my wife's doing. Really just the stuff with the Russo brand. We just passed, I think we're into our fourth year now, I believe. We started on January 2nd or 3rd, about 3 or 4 years ago. Podcasting and actually making money podcasting is awesome. We've been talking to you, Ben, myself, and Vince about, the platform for doing that. And of course, Stevie Richards Fitness, and then the affiliate model that I have for home gym equipment, and the turning the entire apartment into a home gym, only to now in 2021, kind of we can get into it because it's very interesting. Trying to get into minimalism. There's so much, you take things so far out, things get oversaturated. You get so like sensory overload on everything. And I think the natural progression now is to kind of focus and pull it all right in. So I know it's a little deep for the versus episode here, but.
Hey, I agree. What about let's say you're working out. Do you really need all that equipment at home, or can you be a minimalist and say, hey, I'm going to use my couch to do this? You know what I mean? You can use different apparatus and things in your house.
Well, you know, that's the term. It really is minimalism. I've been reading a lot and watching a lot of videos of people that kind of document their journey. And I've actually considered doing that myself, because what you've raised just right now, I have the tech set up here, which obviously have a lot of microphones, which I sound awful in all of them. And always ribs me about that. But I have all these different tech things, the tech and the fitness realm. The clothes doesn't matter. I have very minimal clothes. I'm good there. But the technology and the fitness stuff is very unique, because the term minimalism is really more intentional. So I'm going to do a comparison between this iMac and this new MacBook Air I have. I'm going to do, you know, the stuff in the home gym, and kind of like you might even see the struggles and frustrations of, I don't want to let this go just in case. It's interesting. So I'm thinking about really documenting that series. Yeah, you could use your body weight. That's why I have a resistance band program. The very minimum and the lowest cost to kind of buy into it as well is a big factor with people out of work and not knowing what's going to happen this year. But it's tough. It's tough having an affiliate model where you review fitness equipment and you want to minimalize everything within the home gym.
Right. Kind of counterproductive. Yeah. Kind of counterproductive, or kind of going against the grain.
But I think in the end, John, what can happen too, like I have an all-in-one trainer, which is basically the Smith Machine power rack, you know, cable stacks, or not the stacks, the plate loaded right now. That could be the minimalistic home gym for somebody within this budget, that they're going to do all their power rack stuff, their Smith Machine, and then their cable exercises, and they have all the attachments that go along with that. Some people might want kettlebell. Some people might like adjustable dumbbells. Some people might want resistance bands. Some people might just want to build a room to do yoga, meditation, stretching, and that's all they need is a mat. It's really a beautiful kind of scalable thing that I really want to kind of embrace and go into.
It's funny, a buddy of mine, he's in great shape. He does, I think he may have done your work. I know he did DDP yoga.
Talking about working out, I got
yeah.
My shirt off. Not the shirt, the jacket, not the shirt for people who are listening.
Yep. He, yeah, of course not the shirt. Keep the shirt on. But my buddy, he kind of spent like $4,000 and made a gym of his garage kind of thing. It's like, is that the way to go? I mean, or is it each person to their own?
Well, I think in 2020, a lot of people learned that the gyms may shut down at any time. And the monthly membership, they might have baked that into a $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, or even $5,000 Smith machine with the weight stacks, and got bumper plates and a bench, because they're never going back to the gym. And this piece of equipment will pay for itself over the lifetime of using it. Plus, it's 24 hours, 7 days a week. You can work out anytime you want. You can configure the space any way you want. It's cool. I think we're never going to go back to normal as far as people trusting a Planet Fitness or a Gold's Gym or any kind of chain gym. I think to a degree, everybody's going to have a fitness solution to have access to.
It's one of those things where, man, it's just like you can get really sick or COVID and all this other stuff by going to the gyms, and then they're just going to close the gym. I mean, it's one of those things where it's just kind of up in the air. I'd rather just, hey, I'll go to my garage 2 feet away and go work out there, or, you know, go to the living room and go work out.
Yeah. You know, hey, for people to have a garage or a basement, God bless you, because my wife let me turn our apartment into a home gym. So now, you know, but it's been a blessing to have that really pushed the affiliate model, that you see this guy turn his apartment into a home gym. You got to check out this home gym tour. And I give the updated reviews, and there's stuff I like and there's stuff I don't like. And now the beauty of it, like I said, is going to be, what do I really need? What do I have intention on using? And I got to be honest with myself, you know, and say, do I really need a 106-pound kettlebell? Can I sell that and kind of put it in some more functional, or something for food storage or other things? And it's going to be cool. But I think people probably were kind of counting on wrestling in this versus interview.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Well, speaking of that, I remember a couple years ago.
How's that? I said wrestling.
Yes. That should be a podcast. Wrestling.
I'm body slamming my way into town. Local news at 10.
Yes.
By the way, I've always hated that. Body slamming their way into town. Suplexing their way into town. You know, we're not going to get a chair shot during this interview, are we? Oh, Jesus Christ. Give me a break.
Yep. And did you see the Peacock deal? The Variety said that WWE pinned Peacock, or whatever, Peacock pinned WWE. Such corny cliche stuff that they love to throw out there.
Maybe should have used the term overpaid. That might have been $1 billion. $1 billion, man. The valuation on things and the way that the street, Wall Street and other things value certain things like WWE programming is really skewed, man. There's a bubble. There's a lot of bubbles that are about to burst. And I just hope people are kind of in line to prepare for those bubbles to burst. Investors, people that have any kind of skin in these games. And I'm one of them. So not with WWE, but with stocks and other mutual funds and retirement accounts and stuff like that. And it's going to take a hit eventually.
I'm just curious, like when you do the financial analysts, like to say the Peacocks and the NBCs of the world, and they bought WWE for $1 billion, well, for a five-year deal, they bought the network and they're going to do that. Like, do they say like to themselves, like, okay, we're going to overlook this because it's definitely not worth that much? Or is somebody really analyzing it saying, no, it's worth $1 billion over 5 years? Because to me, it seems, like you said, a little bit overpaid, maybe a lot overpaid. You know, it depends on what you're looking at. But is somebody saying, ah, screw it, I want to own WWE or I want to own the network? Or are they really analyzing this thinking that they're going to make some sort of big profit?
Well, Ben has been, I'll say this first, but there is, I think there's logic to it as well with the current state of live sports and live TV licensing in sports. But Ben has talked about Jacob Ullman from Fox being a complete mark and killing the Fiend's gimmick by taking a selfie in the control room. Everybody to some degree, positive or negative, is a fan of something. I'm not going to use the term mark, but if you want to use mark in wrestling, we're fans for certain things that we're willing to kind of put aside our natural logic to some percentage to engage in that. We, you know, Ben and I have always had very positive meetings with you and conversations. So we like you. So obviously we're going to reach out to John and want to help him in the two-man power trip and a production company to do whatever on any scale. Vince loves Ben and Vince loves me. So we work together, and sometimes he confides in us with stuff that he might not confide in with other people. These are all different scales and different levels of it, but there could be somebody within NBC who's just like, I was a huge fan growing up and they had the entire tape library. I couldn't imagine if I had the, you know, I can't imagine how many people are like me that would love to pay for that. And we can offer it for what, $5 a month? Plus the live sports aspect. This is where USA and Fox, this is where we get into the billions with the Fox deal and as well as the USA deal over 5 years. And now Universal with Peacock. It's live sports. You might have The Mandalorian on Disney Plus and other things that are pretty much episodic TV shows that are recorded, and a couple times a year they refreshed them. But now you have, what, 24 pay-per-views a year that are live? You might have specials. You might have other things that would make people go, it's live sports, along the lines of the NFL, which is, what, the tens or hundreds of billions over time? And that's what ups the bar, I believe, with the WWE maybe looking overpaid or overpriced, but not really, because it is live sports and entertainment. Does that make sense?
Yep, absolutely. To me, I was thinking of like the WrestleMania aspect, you know, like they're thinking, okay, Super Bowl of wrestling, they could do something with that and make extra money for Mania that WWE is maybe not currently making. Maybe do like they did years ago, do that like behind the scenes video, and then they'll play the behind the scenes video months later and they make money off some advertising. I don't know. I was just thinking something like there's got to be something more to it that they see that WWE isn't currently doing.
Well, that's interesting, because if they were like, man, we can make all this money off it. The first thing I've went in and looked at businesses like way back in the day when I lived up in Connecticut. I looked at a tanning salon that was between places where people would go to spray tan and tan and stuff. And I was like, this might be a good opportunity. The guy was telling me how profitable it is and how it's awesome and it's easy to run and all this stuff is. It's pretty much all you got to do is sign your name to the paper and money's instantly going to go into your bank account on day one. I'm like, right. Well, if that's the case, why are you selling it? That's the way I would be thinking a little bit more critically if I were NBC. Why are you doing that? Now, here's my conspiracy theory, since I'm a conspiracy horseman.
Yes.
NBC Universal, which is owned by GE, Comcast, all these different, I mean, it's pretty much one of the major five or six conglomerates that, run all of media. Is NBC in stage one of making a play into buying WWE? Well, we see WWE now not on USA, which is an NBC Universal property, but on network TV. Will we see WrestleMania, like you said, like the Super Bowl? Will we see WrestleMania on network TV every year? And will that generate more money? Or is it strictly going to be NBC going to full streaming, pay a la carte? We're going to break off from the cable company, which, by the way, they own Comcast. Yeah. So you're not, they're getting the money one way or the other. That's the way I look at it. Are they making the play that everybody thought Disney was going to eventually make, or the Saudis, for buying WWE?
It's interesting. I remember a few months ago, Dutch Mantel was saying something about Disney buying WWE, and I know who he talks to up there. So he definitely heard something, and then all of a sudden he took it back saying, oh, no, I just made that up. I'm like, yeah, okay, Dutch. I don't know about that because I know some of his buddies up there. So it's just like, okay, somebody's interested in them, and somebody is either saying that they're selling or they're interested in selling. Because you're right, that almost seems like phase one, sell the network. What's phase two? You know what I mean? There, it just seems like the door's open as Vince is getting older. It seems like the door's opening for them to sell.
Well, think about it, too. NBC has two-thirds of WWE properties on their network. They have WWE Raw. They have NXT. Yep. So they have already kind of got everything under an umbrella. Now, what's going to be the next step in making that? There's no live events. It's strictly a TV product, which if you look at it from a TV network, it's like we'd actually rather buy it now in a pandemic era with no live events, because you'd have to hire a whole big department or multiple departments for marketing, live events, logistics, travel. Now it's literally like, my God, we can try to get all the talent to move to Florida. We can run it out of, rent a stadium, rent an arena, do it out of the performance center, build our own studio, whatever it might be. It might be the best thing that happened to wrestling in a way too, because the network will want ratings and there might be some movement that there hasn't been positively for 20 years.
And I could definitely see, let's say WrestleMania, instead of, you know, Super Bowl Sunday, you have WrestleMania Sunday and it's on, and obviously you'll have commercial breaks and stuff like that. Then Budweiser, whoever, is going to pay, you know, a certain amount of money for the commercial. So I could see that being a nice little revenue stream if that's a direction that they want to take it, or if they're strictly going to do pay-per-views or not.
It's hard to say. I mean, if anything, this is where Ben, Vince, and I say this is the story. Wouldn't you tune in to WWE because they sold the network, which I guarantee you they're not going to say a word, except now we're on Peacock. Well, why? What happened? What happened to the stock? Is NBC trying to make a play? Is Vince pissed off because Vince is, you know, he's playing a part. Dirk obviously going to be in on the work, but you make that the storyline. Because you know what? I would tune in every week because I don't know what's going to happen, because guess what? They don't know what's going to happen. It's just happening. And that's where I think a lot of what happened when I came up in the business, that stuff that was just kind of like, when, for lack of a better term, these audibles that would constantly happen, not within, even within the show, but within the weeks and the months and the years of just this ever moving fluid thing. For example, most of my opportunities, John, came because someone else screwed up, came because someone else no-showed, someone else left the company, someone else did something. And they said, well, just, you know, and I just was there and I said, I'll do it. I'm here. Or I was just there. And they said, you do it. Let's see how bad it'll be. And then it turned out not being that bad. Right. So looking at it that way, do we really have that kind of thinking on the fly or feeling it out and just giving somebody that opportunity? I think, well, he's not here, so let's shut the entire thing down. He's not here, or he left, so we're not even going to mention it. We're just going to move on like nothing happened. The audience gets that, and then they're like, well, I'm disconnected from the show. I don't want to watch. And the number reflects that every single time.
And it would be cool to, let's say, backstage, They hired Christine Lebrano to be creative services. What happens to Bruce? Where does he go? Why did Bischoff get fired? Why did Heyman get fired? You know what I mean? It'd be kind of cool. Who's Vince talking to? How come Shane doesn't have any control in the company? Why is he just a you know what I mean? Like, why is Shane interested in buying the UFC? Why, you know, all these interesting things. What about Stephanie? What about Triple H? How did they fall out of favor? Like, I would just be so interested to know that kind of stuff. That I would be interested in. I think so many other people would be interested in that.
Oh, we had another idea, Vince, Ben, and myself. You mirror everything that's going on in society. Obviously, you can't do some of that, even though they did Retribution, and then Retribution denies that they're anything like the people that they're imitating. We were like, why won't they campaign and do an election during the election year just for the hashtags? You'll piggyback on that. Then when Trump was getting impeached, why not have the trial of Vince McMahon and have him impeached as chairman of the board and try to see and just kind of do it that way and just mirror what's going on, and or maybe parodying what's really going on so people can kind of laugh about it or be entertained by it. But they don't look at that because I'm sure you have Russo on, and you know, which people are probably still clicking on. I'm waiting for the fight, John. Where is it? but you know, the thing with that is the wrestling bubble. The wrestling bubble sounds so cliche and catchphrasy. It's a real thing. It's a real thing that they do. They literally do not know what's going on in the world. Therefore, they cannot write storylines that reflect of it.
It is crazy. And if I was them right now, to be honest, I would announce Donald Trump is going to be at WrestleMania in Tampa Bay. That's what I would do if I was them.
Dude, I would make Donald Trump the president of the WWE like Jack Tunney was and just let him talk about whatever he wants to.
Did you ever wonder why Hogan, I don't know if you were this big a fan, but did you ever wonder why Hogan hated Jack Tunney? Did that cross your mind? He always called him that no good Jack Tunney.
You know, Jack Tunney was a promoter. Maybe he shorted him a few envelopes when he worked up in Canada.
Yeah, or his dad. Or his dad shorted him, yeah.
Didn't Jack Tunney, he worked there, I think it was the Toronto promotion or Toronto territory.
Yeah.
They would use his license sometimes, but he just kind of made him president. I don't know how it worked out, but it was literally, well, you know, he looks like a president. I had a Jack Tunney for president 2020 shirt, and it got a cease and desist from the family.
Really?
From Wrestling Tees, yeah.
Oh, my God. Why? Wow.
Well, they're very protective of his estate, and I understand that. But it was a great T-shirt.
Damn, that's an awesome shirt. Damn, I love that. I used to love Jack Tunney, too. I thought it was funny that Hogan would always say.
He was really, dude, was he? I'm not going to say because I don't want the estate to come after me. He was a little lit.
Yeah, okay. But I don't know. I always liked him. I always thought, wow, great authority figure. He's no, you know, Vince McMahon or something. But, you know, I thought he came off as legit.
And you just said the word authority figure. But Jack Tunney didn't open up with a 20-minute promo every week on Raw. This is what's missing. I do believe managers to an extent are missing because hardly anybody can really talk because they're not allowed to talk and be themselves. What we see as a pattern of the authority figure should be somebody. Adam Pearce is the closest thing as you have, but then you're dipping his toe in the water of being a worker, acknowledging him as a worker. Just let him make decisions, do what he needs to do, and peel back. But as far as the managers and the talent, you're not ever allowed to grow and be yourself and make mistakes on live TV with verbiage or. If somebody insults you, you can come back. It's got to be very, you talk, now I'll talk, you talk, now I'll talk. And we see through that too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What do you think about Pierce, though, on TV? Because nobody really knew who he was. Maybe hardcore fans, but WWE fans, no idea who this guy is, no idea what his background is. It's one of those things where it's like, why is he an authority figure on TV out of nowhere? Did you have that same feeling as far as Adam Pearce?
Well, the way it was explained, which I missed, was he was given the mailman outfit by Vince, and that like crowned him. That was it. go to the funhouse and get a contract signed, and they'll like it just happens.
But isn't that weird though? Like, I don't know, back in the day, okay, Gorilla Monsoon, let's say Gorilla Monsoon. Maybe you didn't really know who Tony was, but to me, it just made sense. But Gorilla Monsoon, okay, everyone knows who Gorilla Monsoon is. He's going to be kind of become president. It's like, who the hell is this Adam Pearce guy? Wasn't he just getting beat up with Pat Buck, with Nia Jax? And like, I don't know, it just didn't make sense to me. It's like, where the hell did he come from? Just as far as a, like a non-hardcore fan is concerned.
Well, this is the campaign for the election thing, and the boys could have voted for Adam Pearce to be the WWE president. They just don't do, they just do things to here it is. And we really want to know why. We want to go on that journey. We want to be satisfied at the end of something, or feel like we're a part of it. And that's where the audience and the, even us, we get paid to watch it. It's painful to be paid to watch it. I can't imagine if it was free or I was paying for my cable subscription to watch it. That's dude, people aren't doing it.
It to me, it's at an all-time low, just as far as quality and creative is concerned. It's just awful. But somehow they're able to make more money than ever. Is that the genius of Vince or what? It's just crazy that they're so profitable right now, but they're absolutely garbage.
Well, that we go back to the live. The market is starving for live sports, and they have taken advantage of the market. That's what I really believe it's been, because the NFL, the NBA, there you go. That's
yep. I knew she was going to
ratings cats. Ben says on my voice. Ben says when cats and dogs hear my voice, they appear on camera.
I was thinking about that. I was like, I knew she was going to come out of nowhere because she heard you.
Yeah. Well, maybe there's an income stream in the cat whisperer stuff. Who knows? See, I got my the cat. I'm a scratching post too for my cats.
Yes. Usually scratches the hell out of my legs. Yeah.
Yeah. Comes out of nowhere. So at least the cats are unpredictable. I can't say the same thing about the shows, but live sports. Yeah. They've taken advantage of the market, but that's not going to be forever. You know, in AEW, we're jumping around a little bit, but I brought it up multiple times. Why are they not going to Monday nights? Why? This yep. is a time when you can just get to put the last nail in the coffin, or at least expose how bad it is. There's no more wartime type stuff. I use Ben's terms, but if I were running a wrestling company, if I were booking, or even if I was the talent, I'd be like, let's go beat these guys. Like, even though I have friends over there, I want to win this thing. I want to make more money. I want to get over.
Yep.
Let's give away finishes that are taped. Let's do everything that Bischoff and McMahon were doing to try to put the other out of business. It's way too friendly. It's way too cordial right now.
Yeah, it's no more cutthroat. Like Steve Austin back in the day, you know, I don't care. I'm going to break through no matter what. And I know it feels like there's no more cutthroat. There's no more toughness of these guys in the business.
Well, I don't think cutthroat. See, there's a little too much of that back when I wrestled in the era. I didn't like that, because then people were protecting their spots to a negative. And that's why we have a gap in talent. Because that's why WWE keeps calling the legends back, because this wasn't truly passed. So nobody's innocent of this. I witnessed it firsthand. And I'm looking at it like I could have been more aggressive and taken control on live TV and did things and just said, better ask for forgiveness than permission. But I didn't at that time have the, I just didn't have the courage to do it, because I wanted to be a good soldier. So don't take anything I'm saying as armchair quarterback. I am guilty, and I would probably, knowing now what I know, knowing, you know, then what I know now, I'd be a little different. But being in the business right now and being in the locker room, myself, Ben, Vince, saying these kinds of things could be, I mean, immensely offensive. We could be offending people literally by saying, let's move the Monday nights and let's kill that promotion. It's a different time, different era, different perspective. And it's an era of mostly participation trophies. And I can't say if I was currently in this at that age, I wouldn't be acting the same way. It's a 49, 50 year old guy, but at 23, 24, I was a meek little mouse that didn't want to rock the boat.
Yep. So you think guys, maybe not per se, let's just say Hogan or something, but you know, the Hogans of the world, the Flairs of the world, maybe didn't pass along to that next generation, and that next generation didn't, like you're saying, the huge talent gap as far as putting the one generation over and helping the next guys get over?
I think it was more everybody got over at once in the Attitude Era, and then there was the gap after that. Do you feel that? a little more. And even WCW at that time, top guys. And then there was a big void. And obviously you had the Jerichos, the Eddie Guerreros and other people, the Benoits that did manage to. But it's a small percentage that had the lasting effect over time. And then there was a huge gap. And it's so funny that more people got over during the Monday Night Wars than when there was no competition. You should be like, we can get everybody over and take our time because there's no rush. We don't have to hotshot a damn thing. But that's when everything started to.
Yep.
And that's why I thought about Vince is if he doesn't have a war, like AEW might be smart because if you give Vince a war to fight, he's at his most dangerous.
He'll put you out of business. Yeah.
Well, it's 75-year-old. I'm not so sure he'd have the energy to do what he could do back then. But there's only one way to find out. I would want to find out. I don't know about what ifs. I don't know about being satisfied with a million people. I want to take their audience. Give me their audience. I want to drive them under a million viewers and take those viewers from them. Because in the first 2 weeks, I think on novelty alone, you're going to take the audience.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Plus, if you think about it, if they're getting, AEW is getting the 18 to 49 or whatever, and WWF gets 49 above, you would think maybe you get that on Monday nights, WWE loses all their 18 to 49. You can take most of that away. I don't know, maybe play with it there and start to get the
49 and above is me, Russo, and Disco, and that's about it. I can't see anybody staying up till 11 o'clock, even with Monday Night Football being on.
Well, have you seen the dip? It's usually like 2 million, 1.8, 1.6. Usually there's like that big dip going down the third hour. Nobody usually cares about it.
Let me ask you this. Now, you just mentioned the demographic,
mm-hmm.
which Jericho is smart to make it into a shirt and make money off of it.
Yep.
When do we start moving all these goalposts? When did we stop counting the quarter hours or even minute by minute? Where they used to do that during the Monday Night War.
Big time, yeah.
Why did it turn around into being so afraid of the ratings going down or getting beat by the other promotion? And now it's, yeah, this isn't good, but this is good. Well, look at this. This is good. It turned into being so overly satisfied and ignoring where you need to improve. Have you,
right.
What do you think about that?
It is weird. It's like, oh, but we improved 18 to 34 year old females this week by, 100,000 people. You know, it is weird. Like, I know like a lot of the dirt sheets that favor AEW, they do that all the time where they'll highlight this, but forget about this. They're down overall, but they're up here. I don't know. It's so weird. I feel like there is such a niche of an audience that might get over with them. But to the real fans, they're thinking to myself, well, you're only getting 850,000 people a week. That's nothing. During the Attitude Era, we're getting 8 million a week or, whatever, 10 million a week. So it's like, wow, you're like the niche of the niche of the niche talking about this weird demographic that is kind of silly.
Let me ask a follow-up question. Mm-hmm. If you hear somebody who's supposed to be a wrestling journalist, who's supposed to be criticizing the business and supposed to be a pundit, to some extent, and they're so leaning towards always saying the positive about AEW, but always saying so much negative about WWE. Does your antennas go up? Does your radar go off? That doesn't add up, or it does.
Yes,
add up if you're watching.
Yep,
I know your thought too.
Yeah, and I know a few people. One is a wrestler, one is a non-wrestler that is not, I wouldn't say in that camp, but they're in that world with that journalist where he lives, kind of, like his place, if you will, not physical, but you know what I mean? Like that world, that bubble. They both said to me, yeah, you got to look into it a little bit further because it's not being paid by a certain somebody. It's being paid by something else that it basically saying that look into this guy and these people are being paid off in one way or another to make it seem like they're bigger than they are.
And that's a media relations or something called a marketing company that's paying those salaries. Let's just say what it is.
Yep.
That's great. I mean, that's a great way to do PR and marketing, but are you really growing your audience with only people that are going to read or listen that are paying over $12 a month?
That watch anyway.
No, the answer is no. You got to go and figure out why these people are not watching? Why is this guy not? Why is anybody not watching this? But they're fine with what they have.
And why wouldn't you go for like the mainstream, like they did during the Monday Night Wars? The mainstream is how you're really going to kick it in gear and get more popularity. I mean, it's crazy. They don't even care about it.
Well, I tend to disagree, but the application is wrong. You're talking about Snoop. You're talking about Shaq. You're talking about Tyson. Every single thing. And Ben, I hope he's listening to this because it causes him great pain. So you have Brandy, who is on Gimmick 7 at this point, throws the water at Shaq's face. Shaq does nothing. He goes away forever. He doesn't come back on TV and have a girl with him or manage the other girl. Then you have Tyson before that, who, I mean, I don't know who's on production or directing this. You get a shot of Tyson yawning.
And falling asleep
during like this thing that's supposed to be a big deal. And then you got Snoop, where they basically are like, yeah, you can do a splash. Let me tell you something, John. As somebody who's wrestled for almost 30 years, I've done stuff from the top rope, and I'm looking not very much because when I stand up at the time being 6'3", it's like this is pretty high, and I don't know if I can switch my body up and do whatever. You know, maybe a double axe handle getting punched in the stomach or whatever. But you're telling a guy to jump off into a splash where he can blow his knees and elbows out. That's kind of irresponsible. That's not playing. And plus, it looked like shit.
Yep.
So you didn't accentuate the strengths of your mainstream celebrity. You didn't have him give the rub to anybody. You just had him do a fun little birthday party spot that he could have gotten really hurt. This is where I don't understand. They had three of the biggest names in sports and music, and you couldn't even have them be ambassador and talk about how they love AEW or any of this other stuff. Am I missing anything? Am I missing about what's missing that they didn't take advantage of?
Well, it's funny. I was thinking like mainstream. I'm just thinking like something to get the mainstream, like to get the mainstream audience interested. And I guess you're right to a point. Those guys should help. But when you use them absolutely horribly and embarrassing and have no idea how to write, I guess using those guys is really, really just it comes off horrible. Like, okay, Tyson got 900,000 viewers, but then they saw him yawning and they saw him drunk and they saw a couple of the other guys, you know, like being foolish. Then they don't even name some like Vitor Belfort. They don't even know his name. So it's like, oh, was that Vitor Belfort? They didn't mention. Oh, must not have been. Like, just in your head, you're like, wow, they just screwed up left and right. And then next week, they went right back down to status quo.
And that was during a time when he was going to fight Roy Jones Jr. and they were promoting fighting, which got pretty good buys.
Yep.
So how did those people, did that translate into everybody wanted to buy the pay-per-view? Then did Tony Khan put his hand and financially invest in the pay-per-view? Who knows? I was going to say this. You have so much stuff going on with Urban Meyer, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the number one pick, all these different things. If you're not cross promoting that, and if you're not turning around, this is where I say go to Monday nights. Go to Monday nights, and during halftime, live on Monday night, have a couple matches. Like go right to the field. You might have an arena or you might be somewhere. Have like two or three matches during that halftime thing and go head to head from there with a live football crowd. Get the Jacksonville Jaguars involved. Get Urban Meyer to give you, you know, to give the thumbs up to AEW, to be a coach for somebody for one night. You have all these different things that you can do. They own the football team. What are you going to, Urban Meyer's going to say, oh, you're paying me $5 million a year. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to say anything nice about AEW. Of course he is. Well, if he isn't, you just ask him. You got a 50-50 shot.
They should do something at the draft. If Cody should go to the draft, or they should have the jersey, the AEW Jacksonville jersey, something, split it in half, do something cool. WWE would do corny stuff like that, but like it kind of works, like where Triple H gives them the belt, like, oh, Manchester United, here you go, you're the WWE champion. And the guy would hold the WWE belt, or Aaron Rodgers would do that, and you know they get him the belt. So they could and should do something, and those guys are technically free to them and readily available, so they better do something.
You and I are just two podcasters sitting here talking about it. Why are they not thinking? They're paid a lot of money and investing $100 million, $20 million a year, which they openly admitted they could lose money up until the fifth year. Which, yep. By the way, Tony Khan, don't tell wrestlers you're willing to lose $20 million a year. They'll turn you upside down and shake your pockets and try to take it. I'm trying to figure out a way to get that $20 million.
Yeah, you're like, hey, I could do Dr. Stevie again if you need like get somewhere to get back.
Well,
in
he mentioned my name with the John Silver Brody Lee thing. I'm like, well, maybe I can figure out a way to charge him a royalty for that. I don't know.
Yeah, get in there.
I'm supposed to get $2 million every time you text my name.
Yeah. What do you think about how they've used Sting? Because to me, and I had a good buddy of mine, a good friend that we used to watch all the wrestling. We went to WrestleMania 15 together, went to sit in first row. We went to a ton of shows. I mean, millions of shows together, WCW, all the house shows. And he stopped watching altogether and said, oh, hey, Sting was on last week. He goes, oh, I saw that on. That's pretty cool. He goes, I'll tune in this week. He saw it. He goes, oh, I didn't do anything. Why is he with that skateboard kid? Like he's like, looks like he's like his kid or something. I was like, it's not his kid. It's some wrestler named Darby Allin. But it was just like, he was like, I don't think I'm going to tune in again. Like you had the lapsed fan. He was coming back. He saw Sting. They did nothing. What did you think?
I think the whole thing, first of all, God bless Sting for getting paid. I mean, the boys are always going to say, get your money. So I'm sure he's getting paid very well. I think Sting's mystique, especially with the way he comes out and everything and the way he was, they could have redid the whole Crow thing to some degree with Mystique, which side he's on, this and that, played it out. Instead, what I understand was week two, he came out and he cut a promo like the old Sting. I had to chant it, this is awesome, with the fans, and completely killed any kind of mystique that he might have had for me to wonder what's going to happen and who's. That's the whole thing I saw was he's staring at Cody, staring at this guy, staring at Darby Allin. All right, you got 3-4 weeks right there of engaging each talent and not saying a word. Now your friend probably would have kept watching. Okay, what's he going to do? What's he going to do? But the minute Sting starts chanting, this is awesome, with the fans, what does he think? Okay, well, that's not the Sting I was watching, who was up in the rafters and was kind of like the Crow. I mean, I think that's what people want to see, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, if he's going to dress like the old Sting, or if he's going to sound like the old Sting, he should dress like the old Sting too. Bring that whole retro thing. That could be a whole nother income stream. You know, the red, white, and blue paint and the colorful outfits. Why not?
Yeah. And the thing is, he wanted to go to AEW, really, because Vince just kind of was just like, didn't care about him. The Undertaker thing, I know people said it bothered him a lot, but it did bother him a little bit. It didn't bother him too much from my information on it. It was just that he was just like, oh, wow, Undertaker wants to do it. I want to do it. Let's just do it. And then Undertaker was like, oh, we could do a cinematic match like I've done before. Vince wasn't into it, wasn't feeling it. He was basically like, ah, you won't go to AEW. It'll kill your legacy or something. Tony Khan found out he was a free agent, offered him a shit ton of money, said he wanted him to wrestle a few matches. If he could do cinematic style, let's do it. And he went for it. So I'm sure he's getting paid a shit ton, though.
Yeah, I mean, but I look at that, maybe it's just the power to say no, and he just doesn't want Sting to get over because Vince still has the hangover from WCW. I mean, you look at that Triple H WrestleMania match. Sting comes out. The guys are it's like an acoustic drum set and everything. Then you got Arnold Schwarzenegger up on the Titantron, and here comes the Terminator.
Yep.
Here comes who looks like the bigger star. Then the Hunter beats Sting pretty much clean, but then gets up and expects Sting to shake his hand after he hits him in the face and explodes his head with a sledgehammer. Is anything about that sound like it gets Sting over? I'd be pissed off. I mean, I'd be a millionaire too, but I'd be pissed off. But this whole thing with AEW, if this is Sting's last run, and I'm only saying this is somebody that would want Sting to make the most out of it and want Tony Khan to get his investment and want AEW to get a ton of ratings, because I have a lot of guys in there that I think a lot of. I mean, there's a team I love, and I think they're resetting them now, but I think they did them wrong, was the Butcher and the Blade. I thought they had one of the most unique gimmicks, and I'm a big fan of Pepper Parks anyway. You know, I'm a huge fan of him as a person and as a talent, and he's never realized that potential because he's always been booked a certain way. Those two guys, and then you got the guy Andy Complains. I don't know his full name, but that's his social media name. This dude's like a real legitimate rock star. He's a music star.
Yep.
You're not Andy leveraging Williams. That. So that's what I mean. Going back to Sting, why are you not hiding the weaknesses, accentuating the strengths? His mystique is his strength. The anticipation of what Sting will do, and you're talking about cinematic matches, why is not cinematic vignettes? Why do we not have cinematic promos or any kind of cinematic stuff? You want a cinematic match, then everything Sting does needs to be in that cinematic universe, like Matt Hardy. Once you took him out of that, look at his career right now.
Yep. Yeah, I feel like everything Tony Khan touches turns to crap. To be honest, like, okay, Matt Hardy, he could be something that wasn't really hot, but you just got him off WWE, could be hot. Totally cooled him off. You had Sting, you know, oh my God, and you're going to set up this match that he hasn't had in years, and you completely cooled him off. I don't know. It's just too much experience. You need somebody in there that can actually be like a good booker, could be an experienced guy, could be an ex-wrestler, somebody in there to help him, because he's just, I don't know, the way he books, it's so paint by numbers, so simplistic, and he cools everybody down, even Butcher and Blade. When MJF brought them in, that I was like, oh, it's cool, like a little bounty hunter thing, like a little Star Wars thing, like, oh, I'm going to bring in, you know, like the Boba Fett or whoever, you know, oh, this is kind of cool. And then they lose immediately and look like idiots. I was like, oh, I was like, and they're big too. They're bigger than most of the roster. So it's like, oh, these guys, oh, they're going to kick ass. Nope. Cools them off immediately.
Well, I'm not going to sit here and let you besmirch Tony Khan, because Tony Khan, people might not know this, with all the scientific medical technology that we've had throughout the years, and we're going through something right now where Tony Khan's expertise in medical technology could probably help the world right now.
Yeah.
Football players for decades could have used Tony Khan's fastest concussion protocol ever. Under 60 seconds, it's like a minute clinic.
Yeah, that was bad.
He diagnosed and took Matt Hardy right out of protocol. Imagine if he was on the team when Patrick Mahomes had a concussion. He could have had him back in the game like on third down.
Yep.
I'm being so cynical and sarcastic because that truly disgusted me.
Yeah.
Listen. Let's be honest here. You can call yourselves the woke SJW promotion and the promotion that cares about people, and we're all one big family and everything else. But those kinds of examples right there prove it's the same carny wrestling promoter, no matter what. You lost nothing. I love Matt Hardy to death, and that's, as a friend, it infuriated me because you could have called that, and your ratings wouldn't have tanked. And one day, as a matter of fact, it would have been a storyline. Broken Matt, he did multiple personalities from the concussions, anything to keep this guy out of the ring.
Yep.
And it would have drew ratings. But you had to finish this match that was stupid, unnecessary bumps. These are worse than the apron bumps in NXT. You're talking about bumping like on the floor in the concourse and all this other stuff that's like, who even remembers that? Like, the only reason I remember is because my friend got really, really messed up. But who remembers that Matt Hardy thing if I don't say it right now? Do you have it on your mind all the time? Then it's not a moment that needs to be memorable.
Right. And the other thing was, I guess the stipulation of the match is why he felt that the match needs to go on, because, oh, if he loses, he can't wrestle again. He has to win. So then just make it a no contest, like, or just do something else in storyline where Sammy says, oh no, he could fight again, 'cause I want to end his life or whatever. Say something.
If his concussion was really bad and he kept going, he would never wrestle again anyway. So what are we doing here?
Yeah, I don't know. It was just so stupid. I was like, wow, did he really restart the match because of a stupid storyline? Like, that was insane. That was so stupid. And none of the dirt sheets covered it, coincidentally, that they said it wasn't that bad. They tried to cover for him.
Right. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Yeah. Those green dollars, they just knocked dementia right off the brain.
And it's funny, too, because Jericho and Nick Jackson both had COVID. We never heard about it. You know what I mean? What else are they hiding over there?
Well, I mean, a lot of stuff has happened, and a major loss to the business. And we're not going to be those people that even speculate on that, because the point is that a really good dude with a family that's hurting right now is gone. One of the good guys. And then Luke Hawks, myself, and I'm sure Ben and everybody else always think right away, why is it always the good ones in the business and the other ones seem to live forever? That's really a very human, not a great way to think. You shouldn't think like that. But
right. When
somebody as good as that dude, who I only had very minor interactions with, you can still see this is a really good guy, and he loves his family, and he deserved to live to be 110 to see grandchildren and great grandchildren and all this stuff. So that's the most important thing. And that's the stuff, like, not him, but Nick Jackson, Jericho, other people. When you start to add these things up, and AEW and Tony Khan are playing the Vince McMahon WWE type secrecy games, you know, the locker room's going to start that stuff spreads, and then you start becoming the same locker room as WWE when I was there, or the same office versus the boys, and other things start to fester. I think those patterns might already be kind of creeping in, or they might be full blown. Who knows? The politics are surely happening. I'm sure you get reports of that. But I thought this was supposed to be, and it should be, a big team effort, John. Hey, if you're getting a guaranteed deal and the promoter loves you and he's willing to give 5 years to this thing, the pressure is kind of off, and you're working one day a week. So, man, we can really, really grow this thing. And what are we going to do with the other 6 days a week to make sure this guy's 5-year thing turns into 10 years? Cause this guy, I don't want this money mark to go away.
Right.
What are we doing? But it seems like the same pattern of wrestling always just seems to happen.
And hiring your friends, they seem like they do it more than anyone that I've seen. You know what I mean? Like, okay, Hogan hired Beefcake. Well, at least Beefcake and Honky Tonk Man, all these guys, at least they had a track record of drawing, and, you know, at least they were huge stars. But it's funny, it's like AEW, like Brandon Cutler and Peter Avalon, all these guys that are friends with this guy, they get hired. Luther out of nowhere, he hasn't been on the scene in 20 years. He's hired. So it's worse than AEW with friends being hired.
I have no problem with that. I have no problem with it. But if you're whoever these people are and your friends get you in, which most times, like I said earlier, people have their own predispositions and their subjective opinion or whatever. There could be people to look at me on Russo's thing and this guy never won a match in WWE. Why do you have him talking about wrestling? He knows nothing. Well, that's more of an indictment on the person saying it, because right, you don't understand. Really. You're not a smart mark then. But
right. In
all seriousness, the perception is, okay, well, this guy doesn't deserve a job, or because he's a friend, he got a job. But if I was that guy and I got the job, the Brandon Cutler or the Dr. Luther, everything, any of these guys, I'd be like, what are my weak points? So I got to improve, because I can't let Chris Jericho or the Young Bucks or anybody look bad. So if it's Dr. Luther getting in the shape or figuring stuff out, or just playing to his strengths and saying, I don't want to be in this particular thing because Chris got me this job and I don't want to make Chris look like an asshole. That's the way I would look at it. I don't know if that's the way they look at it, or it's just like, milk this guy for all he's worth and we'll figure it out. Speculation. But I know the way it used to work, because if I got somebody a job, I would say, dude, I got you the spot. Please don't make me wrong in taking this chance. Because it used to be in wrestling, you'd only get maybe one or two of those, like going to bat for people in your career with a company. You couldn't do it all the time.
Yeah. The funny thing is, with that, it's like, okay, some of those guys, okay, that's fine. But I don't know, sometimes I feel like they have too much of a roster, too many guys around the roster to me. It's just like, wow, like when is enough's enough? Because they only have one show a week right now, and they have a full ton of guys on that roster.
Once again, I don't begrudge anybody. I'm glad that Tony Khan has not cut or released anybody during the pandemic.
Definitely a good
thing. Vince should have took note. And there's another thing with Tony Khan. Why in the world? And this is a war. This is a kind of like a wartime thing when you're talking about promotions. Why didn't Tony Khan point out? Why did Vince let all these guys go? I'm not letting people go during a pandemic. I'm not doing that. Think about all the positive PR and also the negative PR. Oh, Vince made $14 million after he cut 40 wrestlers? Wow, that's what a hard on that guy. Go after this guy.
Yeah.
And also, what was the other thing? Healthcare or to any extent, whatever Vince is not doing, you do it three times more. Whatever Vince is doing, you do the opposite and you accentuate that and you promote the hell out of it.
Yeah.
It's just my thought. I don't know what Vince is giving you all the, Vince is giving you all the gifts in the world to call him out right now and you're not doing it.
Yeah, and you had Bischoff on your show twice. I'm sure he knows a little something about doing the opposite of WWF and sticking it to him. You could have took some advice from Bischoff. He wouldn't sure he would have gave it to you.
Yeah, the Bischoff thing's interesting. I think I believe he is really working for TNT as a consultant. He's doing some things. But God, man, I would love to see, just because, let's try it and see if it recaptures lightning in a bottle. I would make Eric Bischoff the figurehead of AEW, and I would have Bischoff be the heel that gives the finishes away, do all the stuff that Bischoff used to do,
yep,
and call Vince out and do this and that, and almost to the point where Tony Khan's saying, dude, I you shouldn't do this. This isn't ethical. And he's like, screw that. It's not why you hired me. And he goes even harder at WWE because he has a few extra. He moved from Wyoming, which – I may live there soon. Who knows? It just looks great. But he moved from Wyoming to Stamford, Connecticut. So he's looking out at the Yellowstone River. He's looking out at the mountains, I think the foothills of Yellowstone National Park. Not sure. Beautiful nonetheless. So he's got acres and acres of land. So he takes the chance and he drives with his family to Stamford in a one or two bedroom apartment in downtown Stamford, which I've been there. It's a little different to Wyoming. And then he gave all that up to do that job, and 6 months later, he's gone. You don't think he has a bone to pick about that?
Yep.
Why not take advantage of it? He'll get all the heat. You just put him in the spot and let him go.
He'll love it. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. I want the wrestling business to succeed. I really do, even though on the Raw SmackDown review, Master Chief Theater, even here, we kind of make fun of it, but that's our way of dealing with it because we have to watch it, and it hurts so much to see it not as good as it should be, with the talents not making the money they should be making and not becoming the legacy stars that could generate income for decades after they're done. That's what we're really talking about.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting about this show, when I had been on a few weeks ago, you don't even know it, made a surprise appearance because he was going into Vince and he had some of your recordings. So you were on the show, whether you know it or not.
I try to still contribute. I had to fly out to Utah for Force USA, and I was like, well, I'm not going to be on the show, so let me record voicemails as Young Writer.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, he had stuff at the ready. He was like, hold on a second, dude. And then all of a sudden he hit another button and it was Russo. So I thought it was a recording and it was really him. He had must have dialed him in or something. So I was like, oh, it's really Russo. So
well, he's got the Roadcaster Pro, which Russo calls the Roadmaster. We ever correct him when he mispronounces anything. Right. It's like this.
Yeah.
Just clap for that, you stupid bastard.
So, Mr. President. That's 4 years of that clip we'll be playing. But yeah, that we have sound clips on this and all sorts of other stuff. We'll teach you that part of it too. You can do a live call-in show, all that stuff. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Dude, that's awesome. And I don't know if everybody knows this, but you have been so helpful to me. I haven't edited videos in like 20 years, whenever like I started college. So I'm like bugging you, texting you.
The real tape and everything back then?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. It's been a long time. So I was like, oh, could you help me? You know, you sent me some videos. You gave me some advice. You gave me some tips. So I really appreciate that because, you know, some annoying podcaster bugging Stevie Richards about technology and you're up on all that stuff.
I'll tell you what, you've inspired me. I haven't quite taken the step yet, but this is also, once again, the minimalism approach and other things and workflows. After you sent those first couple texts, I'm like, you know what? I used to have a technology channel where I would do tutorials and I would do other things.
T4, wasn't it something?
T4 show, yeah.
Yeah.
But I used to do that on the channel that's now Steve Richards, mostly fitness stuff and things like that. But I have a channel on the back burner that I kind of did one thing with and I left it there called Stevie Richards Helps. So I was going to do a thing where I, based on, hey, this is lots of people like you. It's great that friends of mine and people I know reach out to me and they ask me these questions. Like, it'd be kind of cool to be able to just maybe five other people have the question. And John's asking like, man, I need a free video editor. And I'm like, this is free and it's powerful and it works. And you can do multicam and sync external audio. And it's, you know, the free version of DaVinci Resolve is awesome. But even the stuff like the minimalism thing, like how can I produce a podcast with only this much of equipment? Can I do this? What shotgun microphone would I use, or what podcast microphone would I use if I only had one? I think it's kind of cool. I got all these great ideas and then I've realized there's only 24 hours in a day. And then I'm human too, John. So here's what I do. And wrestlers are crazy, by the way. I know you know that. So I'll have the idea and the motivation is that John could use this information, or Ben or Matt Schaefer or any of these other people. And then I go, but who's going to watch and who's going to care? And nobody cares. And they're just going to, you know, make fun of me for being a stupid wrestler or whatever. I don't know. Yeah. All this. As a matter of fact, I had a dumb wrestler series on the channel before. Dumb wrestler builds a Hackintosh. Dumb wrestler learns how to podcast. I thought it'd be funny. My wife said it's a little too self-deprecating.
I could see that. I could see that. Yeah, for sure. The interesting thing is, though, like, you were very helpful because I'm like, I don't know if I'm bothering you or not, but you said I could, you know, met. So I was like, wow, this is great. Like, man, this is really great. Cause, you know, sometimes people say stuff and then you're like, okay, I never heard from them again. Like, oh, damn, that's like, but you were great. So really appreciate it. I was even like, I just need one cut. You're like, well, you want to ripple cut it. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, I'm like, oh, okay. So I didn't even know. I was like, oh, man, I haven't done this in forever. So it was awesome to have somebody like you to guide me through some of that. So appreciate
I'm going
to
show you something real quick because you're the old school video editor. You'll appreciate this. Hold on 1 second.
All right. As we wait for Stevie, we see that awesome chair, that gaming chair that he's got. I got to get one of those. He's going to get something. Let's see what it is. He's
you ready back. For this?
Yep, I'm ready.
If you, this will probably make you want to buy DaVinci Resolve, even though this was a bonus, a free thing, because I would never pay for it. And so I want you to, I'm going to take you back to your old days. You ready?
Oh, my God. Yes.
That is the DaVinci Resolve speed editor for the cut page. It has everything, including multicam stuff. This, they recreated this in a modern tone. This is an old school. I remember Charlie had this at the ECW studios in New York that looked like a bigger version of this. So this is the speed editor. And I figured you would appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. I literally, you remember like the little, oh, man. Ugh.
Except now instead of having three wheels, you just hit the button and it's either jog, shuttle, all that stuff. Yep. So it's cool. Yeah, I'm here to help you with anything, man. That stuff makes me feel fulfilled to know that I can help and serve others. And that's kind of what I do with the fitness stuff and trying to create this content. And, you know, I don't want you searching around for 3 days like I did. If you can get it in 5 minutes, then that's cool.
Yep. Appreciate that. And I also just wanted to mention Wildcat Wrestling. It was a few years ago. I was at the ECW arena. I was actually managing Shane that night as a surprise. He was wrestling Luke Hawks in a dog collar match in the main event. I still do not like Luke to this day because I just kind of nailed him in the back just because I wanted him to, you know, lighten up on Shane a little bit. Guy popped me in the face and threw me out of the ring. So I'm not a fan of Luke. But when I saw you, and it's funny because I met you, this is like years ago. I was like, oh, Stevie, you know, compared to this guy, maybe he's not that big. Saw you then, this couple of years, I was like, man, obviously 6'3", you're big. But I was like, man, he's way bigger than I remember him being. Is that because all the other guys are small or were you always that big?
No, it's just all the other guys I was around were always so much bigger.
I was thinking that too.
If I was like, on AEW or like NXT, it'd be like, you know, I'd be Andre the Giant or something. Like Ben's even taller than me.
Oh, he is. Okay.
And Russo's even taller than both of us. Russo's a giant.
So, because I remember seeing you in Hazlitt, this is like going back to 98 or something, next to Bam Bam. So, of course, you looked small as hell, but it was like, holy crap. It's like, I never noticed Stevie was that big before. Man.
Well, thank you. The business is just letting smaller people in. That's all it is. And Luke is a great guy. And Luke knocked me out in the first 5 seconds of our match at the arena as well. So, the arena, like, I don't have good memories of Luke in the arena either.
Yes. And nobody else would interfere for Shane because he's that hated. So I had to, you know, I had to step up and do it. You know what I mean? Nobody likes Shane Douglas.
I like Shane. I like him a lot. See, I ruined his entire character, his entire legacy. Damn, you guys do the show with him too, right? You guys do a Triple Threat podcast and really great stuff to get Shane's take on all that stuff and the way he talks. He's far too intelligent for pro wrestling. He really did waste his potential by being in wrestling. He should have went into politics. He should have went into much higher learning to really create an institution for the youth of America because he has that kind of level of thinking. But he loves wrestling. It snake bites us all, and we all end up wasting our potential, it seems.
Yes. He could have been a professor somewhere, for sure.
Shane's a great guy. I love him, and it's great, actually, to talk about this and we'll wrap it up in a positive way.
Yep.
To be in this stage of my career and life and to be able to interact with people like you and Shane and Ben and Russo, and then even people like, you know, you're talking about Shane, especially people I came up in the very beginning, where it was amazing that Shane, I had the distinct honor when I first got in the ECW because I took really good bumps, because I sold my ass off, because I made guys look good, that they wanted to work with me. Shane came up to me and said, I want to work with him. Then after we had our match and he beat me, this was in 94 or something, he talked about what a star I'm going to be in the business. Like, he didn't do that in every match when he had just some local guy from Philly, but I never forgot when he said that. And I was like, that always stuck in the back of my mind when people would put me down or not give me encouragement. I always thought about Shane in the middle of the arena where the people shit on everything, told all these people, this kid's going to be a star. And that was like, I mean, he probably forgets he said it, but I'll never forget him taking that minute or two to really give me the stamp of approval.
That is awesome. Yeah, Shane's a hell of a guy, and that is awesome. You are quite a damn underrated worker, to be honest, because you've been everywhere. And to say you've been everywhere and wrestled everybody and be around that long, you have to be good. And whether people realize or not, you made everybody else look good around you, for sure.
I understood too, John, that the push won't last. The opportunities won't always be there, but they're always going to need a guy like me. And when someone says they're always going to need guys like Brad Armstrong and Stevie Richards, it's like, whoa, that's even more of a compliment than the Shane promo. That's like, you're putting me in the like neck and neck with a guy who I believe was the most fluid, technically profound and proficient, and also safest workers that ever will be in the business. Why do you think everybody always worked Brad Armstrong?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he never got a push because he was always so good at doing the other thing. And I think that, you know, and then people will lump me in with that. It's like, you want to talk about things that are like, man, please don't. I'm not that good. That's what I would answer. I'm not as good as Brad Armstrong or any of the Armstrongs for that matter.
Well, as we wrap it up here and take it to a close, what do you got going on? What's going on? What's going on with this Conspiracy Horseman? What's
I'll learn
going
how to on? Use this thing eventually now. I got it out.
Yeah, now you got to. Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm always doing different stuff. And the great thing about the terrifying and exciting thing, which you understand about having your own brand and having your own projects and trying to generate your own income, is it all depends on you. It wakes you up and terrifies you every morning and excites you every morning all at the same time. So Stevie Richards Fitness is going on its fifth year now. And it's just like the way people have responded to these workout programs, the 12 and 16 week, which are still the most affordable and accessible because I answer the emails myself. I don't have anybody doing that for me. And I try to get back to everybody as quickly as possible. You know, the bands have a lifetime warranty. I partnered with DynaPro to make sure that you're never left out in the cold. When you invest in the program, you have lifetime access. When you invest in the bands, you have a lifetime warranty. So I think that's a pretty good deal on both ends. And then on the home gym side, to see people that have the bands and say, man, I want to build my own home gym because my gym's closing, it's shut down or whatever it might be. And when they go to Force USA, and they, you know, use my affiliate link or they watch my reviews and they trust me, it's a cool feeling. Like, I don't have to, in wrestling to some degree, you have to kind of bullshit and lie your way through some stuff or be political or never be as like harshly truthful about things. But my review process is very, very blunt, very truthful, but not negative in any way. I'm going to say this isn't for you or this is for you. So when people use forceusa.com/Stevie and use that, it really is like an awesome feeling that people trust me with you just said, people drop a lot of money on these things. When they say, you know what, I trust what this guy says. He knows what he's talking about. He's researched it, and I'm going to pull the trigger. I trust his opinion. That's kind of what my legacy more than wrestling. I would love for it to be somebody that left a positive imprint on the fitness industry, and not everybody has to be, what we see. How's that?
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that. You can have normal people that love fitness and don't have to be, you know, tear your biceps in order to get gains or anything like that, that you can have a very healthy and well future using fitness products.
Nice. And anything good coming up on the Horsemen, the Conspiracy Horsemen?
Oh, geez. Let me check the news. It's probably everything that we've seen. What has he done? Started two wars already, and nobody's getting stimulus checks and all this other stuff. Been to usually like when we have, oh, actually, you know what? I did this week, God willing, Val Venus is supposed to be on.
Oh, nice. Nice.
We've been waiting for that for a while. So thank you for asking. I take it with a grain of salt because Val tends to disappear. I was one of his best friends at one time and he kayfabes me to this day. So I don't know what the story with him is.
Weird guy.
He's not weird. I think he's so into what he does and he believes what he believes. And I respect that immensely. Some stuff I really do agree with. Some stuff I'm like, I'd love to talk to him. That's what having him on the Horseman's all about. We're still banned from Twitch. So that's a thing.
Jesus,
will we be banned from YouTube on Wednesday? I don't know. Tune in and find out. It's coming sooner or later.
Man, they're really cracking down on stuff. That sucks. Free speech is over.
Well, do you know what the episode got banned on Twitch?
Wasn't it the Brody Lee one?
Out of all the stuff Ben puts up on twitch.tv/conspiracyhorseman, the Brody Lee tribute, which still hurts the guy, and it should. I mean, if it was one of our shows or Conspiracy Horseman, it's like, okay, we got to jump through the hoops. But when he was paying tribute to somebody that he loved and respected, that's like, dude, that's wartime stuff. Because now Ben is like, and Russo tried to calm him down a little bit, but I said to Vince, you're not going to calm him down because it's, God forbid, if it happened to one of us and we're doing a tribute and they did it to us, I'd be just as mad as Ben if I was doing a tribute show.
Yeah, that sucks. So
we're probably banned from YouTube now for mentioning the ban on the tribute show.
And YouTube is such a pain in the ass to get a hold of. Oh, my God. It's just like they don't get back to you. It's YouTube kind of sucks in that way.
Well, what you can do now, if you have any issues, what Ben did with YouTube, what happened? We had some YouTube issues, and Vince had the whole like brand get on Team YouTube on Twitter, and it worked. I'm not saying anybody else is going to have similar results, so don't trust what I'm saying. Like, I don't even know if I contacted Team YouTube if they would be like, you know, BWO Stevie. What the hell is that? The Bills World Order?
Yeah, we didn't even mention the BWO. Oh my God. How the heck did we get
Thank through God.
The BWO? Oh my God.
It's meaning a Novus thing. I was just an accessory to that.
Just Big Stevie Cool.
They're going torn all around. The BWO is torn in 2021. They just forgot one of the guys.
They forgot Big Stevie Cool. What the hell's going on? Is there heat there? What the hell's going on?
Not at all. Not even a little bit. I am so happy that they're going to get booked and use the BWO thing. I'm totally happy with that. I stole the colors for SRF, so I'm fine with that. The logo's just BWO with an SRF, so
yeah, true.
I'm not going to complain.
What about some plugs? Where can everybody find you? Social media.
I'm so terrible at this. I need Ben for this. This is where you can help me, John. StevenRichardsFitness.com. I mentioned it before. You have all the resistance band programs, lifetime access, lifetime warranty on the bands from DynaPro. Also, ForceUSA.com/Stevie for home gym strength equipment. diamondbackfitness.com/Stevie for cardio equipment, which I definitely have vigor tested. I have broken more cardio equipment than I can care to like brag about. Sorry about the planet. I had to throw it out. Other than that, I'm mostly on Instagram at Stevie Richards, where I try to post stuff. I've been updating people on the minimalism stuff. And also you get to see pictures of Odin and Mia, my cats, which I'm sure you've checked out, I hope.
Yes. Nice. Beautiful cats. I love it. Stevie,
thank you. Haven't figured out a way to monetize that. I'm trying to, maybe we can work on it together.
Yeah. I feel like cats is an untapped market because some of them get really, really popular around there.
Oh, I do. I mean, I do it. If there was a way to pay per click on cat content, I would owe people so much money. Here's a cool one. She's like Dr. Stevie.
Nice. Yeah, there we go.
He looks so serious.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm a badass daddy.
That's awesome, though. I love it.
Cool. That's about it. Well, the YouTube channel. See, I'm so terrible at this. We just passed 71,000 subscribers, which is awesome.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, until they banned me, too, just for being associated with Ben. You're getting banned, too.
I know, because now HMG all over the place. Shit, I got to.
Exactly. Oh, and they know him now. They know who he is. He's on the radar. But that's where you get most of the fitness content. You get the YouTube gym tours, all that stuff, and the affiliate links and codes are in the description on the videos. Every bit of that goes back into the company, much like with Two Man Power Trip, HMG. We reinvest everything back into this to try to improve the production and make the best content.
All right, Stevie, awesome stuff. I appreciate all the time, and thank you again, and good luck to everything you got going on.
Thank you, guys. God bless you. See, I'm going to get heat for that, and have a great day.
This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You can check us out on Facebook. You can subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website, TMPTEmpire.com. And buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother.